This week's update from the Isle of Man with Rhiann Evans from Manx Radio.
Hello and welcome back to your weekly netball podcast. I'm so sorry we've been gone for so long. The end of the world put a kind of stop on things, but not that that should be an excuse. We do apologise. But Ailish Brideson and myself, Rhiann Evans, we are back and we're going to go through the league tables as they stand. Although we do know that we had to cut the season short and leave it on a bit of a cliffhanger. So we're going to look at the league tables as they stand at the moment. And then we're also going to give you some challenges and some little home workout exercises that you can do to stop you from being arrested from breaking social distancing laws. So, as always, let's start in the Premier Division. On top is Simcox Reds with 45 points, then SNP Ballasalla A with 43, then Marbury Misfits A with 33, Thompson Travel 1, 31, Brown Crane Tomb Raiders with 24, Simcox Blue 23, SNP Partners Ballasalla B 20, Simcox Gold Eagles 20, and Route 1 Connections 10. So, what do you make of those results?
It definitely wouldn't have been my predicted end result if you'd have asked me at the start of the season. I think, you know, the first two, the top two, was to be expected. Mm-hmm. But you look at like the placings of Tomb Raiders, to know criticism of them, but at the start of the season I'd maybe rank them further down, but they've just absolutely stepped up this season, you know, beating the likes of Simcox Blue, fighting hard against Simcox Red, you know, teams that are notoriously placing high in the Premier Division. They've done like an amazing job, and I think for them to have such a steady season, rather than having to worry about, you know, being in them bottom three positions, you know, they've gone in, they've absolutely smashed it. Maybe a season for them where they were able to settle in one of the first few games, and it's just like paid off for them, you know, amazingly.
I think they're just going to go from strength to strength as well. I think they're going to be breathing down Thompson 1's neck next season.
Oh, definitely. And I mean, Thompson 1, again, have had such a strong season and placing well up where I'd have expected them to, given that they were missing Charlotte Christian, who's, you know, one of their stronger defenders for the last few games from injury. You know, they held their own and they played, you know, with the team that they had, and they, you know, played that really well. You know, with the addition of Anne-Marie in the shooting circle for them, they were able to create such a good partnership between her and Fern. You know, when you think about losing Alice Cross, she's such a solid shooter and has always been a solid shooter for Thompson. You know, she went to university this year. You take a look at your team and you do wonder how new combinations are going to work. But those two just seem to settle really well this season, which has been really nice to see.
And what I noticed about Thompson 1, actually, similar to Simcox Red, in the last, they were our last game of the season and they moved players around, and it was pretty much seamless, the transition from like defence to attack, because at one point Anne-Marie was in at goal defence or goalkeeper, and then she moved to shooter and Fern came out to goal defence, and it was just a complete mix up of positions, and yet everyone worked really well in every position they were put in, which I was really impressed by.
Yeah, they're a very, very strong team, and it's good that, you know, teams do have that level of versatility these days. You know, I hate people saying like, oh, I'm a goal attack and I'm only a goal attack. It's not really the mindset that you should be having. And, you know, a team that tries and tests out these different, you know, formats are probably the most successful teams, because, you know, you've got different options and backups if something is going wrong on a Sunday. And so it is nice to see that they're making those kind of, not drastic changes, but, you know, throwing your shooters in at defence is never a safe option to do, but at least, you know, that they're doing it and they're trying it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And Marbury Misfits A, that merger of those two clubs obviously hasn't hurt one single bit, because they've had an absolute cracking season and, come third in the league table.
Yeah, a very strong season for them. You know, they started off a bit rocky, and, you know, I'd maybe have said based on the first few games they wouldn't have finished third, but they've done extremely well. And I think having a second team available so that when you are missing key players, you know, they were missing Lauren Ellison for maybe half of the games from injury. And when you're missing key players like that, and you're one team, and then you're suddenly struggling because you've got six players. They didn't have that this year. You know, they had the luxury of having seven other players from a different team that they could play up if necessary. So that's worked out really well for them, you know, just having that little bit of extra support. You know, Reagan Dee, I think she started in their second team, played up a number of times in their A team, and like absolutely smashed it for a non-netballer. Mm. But, you know, given the exposure to two different types of teams within the same club has worked really well for her. So, yeah, Misfits have had a really good season.
They have, and their second team has really stepped up as well. And I really thought, I know she plays centre for the Bees, but I think Sammy Bowden's defensive work, particularly in the midcourt, has been really, really solid this season, like noticeably solid, which has been really good to see. But hopefully Misfits, I think Amber has been out with a knee injury, and Lauren, yeah, so hopefully the two of them are back in full force next season, because I absolutely love both of them as players. Looking further down the league table, any surprises with those results? So we have Simcox Blue in 6th, Ballasalla Bees 7th, Simcox Gold 8th, and Route 1 Connections 9th. And we've kind of said, we sound like a bit like a negative parrot all the way through the season, but it really hasn't been Route 1's season this year.
No, that was a bit of a shocker for me. You know, they had some of their key players back. So Erin Keggan returned back from injury, and a combination of her and Nicola Spencer in the shooting circle is normally one that's completely unstoppable. So, you know, when you look at having all of their key players back, I mean, one game against the Blues, they had their strongest seven out. They had Kat Keeling in defence with Hannah Sneedle, who'd come back from travelling as well. You had Nikki and Erin playing together. You had Becky Pate in centre. You know, naturally, you'd look at that team and, you know, think you're going to lose that game. But they just weren't able to have their same seven out every week. And I think they really struggled with either playing people up or just people not turning up on a Sunday, which, you know, was a massive detriment to them this season. And, you know, they've probably got a lot of lessons to learn going into next season. You know, making sure that you've got subs on the sideline in case people aren't turning up. But, yeah, it was not the season for them. And unfortunate, really, because, you know, if you saw them on a Sunday, they worked really hard, but it just wasn't working.
And, of course, you're a Simcox woman, so how do you feel about Simcox Blue results and Simcox Gold results?
Gold's really well. You know, as a team that's been promoted from First Division into Premier Division, you're against some stronger teams, definitely some stronger teams, and it's a completely different style of netball. You know, in the Prem, it's not just about running rings around your opponent anymore. It's using your skill and having tactics and working the ball down the court in a different way. So, you know, they had to step up and they had to learn very quickly the differences between Prem players and First Division players and be able to apply that to their games. Some didn't go their way. And, you know, that's you could have predicted that from the off. And they came out with some shock victories as well. So they've done extremely well, and I'm glad that they aren't going back down next season. You know, they're not in that bottom position, so we should see them again in the Prem next season. So that's good for them. Blues disappointing. You know, they were going out to try and get that third or fourth place position in the league. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. You know, similarly to Route 1, there were weeks where they just couldn't put out their same seven anymore, you know, due to different conflicts or whether it was injury or sickness or whatever it was. They, you know, they didn't put that same seven out every week. And then towards the end of the season, when people stopped coming to training, you know, that has an impact on a Sunday. You know, when you go out and you are a team that doesn't look like you're gelling well together, and it's probably because you've been out of training for a while as well. And so again, Blues have some lessons to learn. But on a positive note, you know, they had some great games as well, you know, getting half points against Simcox, Red and Ballasalla A. That is a victory for a team like the Blues. So, you know, they did that and they did that really well. You know, losing to two majors on the first game and then coming back to only lose by one the next time they played each other again, that's a step up. And they played really well in that game. So whilst every team does have their negatives and it is disappointing that they placed further down than they'd hoped, you know, they did play well.
So, okay, so in conclusion, if you had to pick one player from the Premier Division that is your standout player from that league, who would you pick?
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's really hard. Rachel Johnston. Has to be Rachel Johnston.
Understandable.
She's come back. She came back from travelling and she came in and she completely turned the game around for the Blues. You know, she was absolutely key in that mid-court from an attacking perspective, from a defensive perspective. And she makes a lot of teams scared. You know, I remember the first game that we turned up and Blues were playing Ballarat, and Rachel was there. I mean, Ash Cowan turned around to me and she was like, oh my gosh, I thought we were going to lose when I heard that Rachel was playing. You know, she has that impact on people, and she is such a key player during the attack and during the defence as well, that, you know, I think Reds or Blues would be maybe slightly weaker without her.
Yeah, a very selfless player as well, I think. She's a real team player.
She really is, and she puts 150% into every game, and that's what I love. You know, people that go down and they love netball, and you can see that they love netball by the way that they play. It's just so nice and rewarding, you know, when people like that play like that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Okay, it is really tough because I could pick at least sort of three people from every single team.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with, and I know this is a really poor effort on my behalf, but Lisa from Marbury Misfits A, and I forgot it for the life of me. I can't remember her last name. But
Quilliam.
Yes, thank you. Lisa Quilliam from Misfits A. She plays keeper and defence, and I just think she's a fantastic defender. And she's always just going for ball. You know, she's a brave player. And I think sometimes she might miss time an intercept and sort of give someone a bump, but I'd never think it's an intentional thing. I don't think she's a dirty player. I just think she's committed. And I really enjoyed watching her play this season. And she's very positive on court as well. So she would be mine from the Premier Division. So moving on to Division 1, top spot goes to PwC Manx Gems Rubies with 39 points. Fairly closely followed by Damplant Young Farmers A, they've got 35 points, and Route 1 Turbos, who have also got 35 points. Long and Humphrey Tomb Raiders are next in fourth position with 33 points. In fifth, it's Balasala C with 30, Marbury Misfits B with 26, Castletown Pink also with 26 points, Thompson Travel 2 with 21 points, and Thompson Travel 3 with 20 points. Now, this division, I remember saying, oh my God, like there was just pretty much one goal in it for pretty much every game every week. It was a fantastically competitive season, and what a way to sort of, I don't know, like that's exactly what you want a season to be like, because there's never a boring moment.
No, and I think that's reflected in, you know, how close those scores are from top to finish as well. And I think, you know, if you look at Simcox and Ballard, you know, I think they're sat on 40 points at the top of the Prem. At the top of the first division, it's not so high because people were winning and losing like every single week because the games were so close. So, you know, that is reflected in the end of the season scores for teams like that. But yes, such a close season in pretty much every game.
Any surprises from those results?
Thompson 2 and 3, you know, surprised me. Thompson 2, you know, used to be in the Premier Division. So the fact that they're sat, you know, so far down in that division does surprise me a bit, you know. But to give them credit where credit's due, they put out a lot of different combinations this season because they lost a fair few people to university. But things just not working out as I'd have expected it to for those two teams this season. Likewise, Gems completely stepped up to the mark, and, you know, credit to them, they're going to get promoted for next season. And they worked really hard. They're a great team, such a good little unit. And that, you know, it's been rewarded for their hard work.
They are a solid unit, aren't they? They just know each other's game, which is really satisfying to watch. I think with the two Thompson Travel teams, they're younger teams, aren't they? So I don't think they've had as much time necessarily playing together or playing in this division. So hopefully it'll be sort of like training wheels off next season, and they'll come out with a bang, I'm hoping. Because they've got some solid players in those teams and a lot of talent. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what they can do next year.
Yeah, no, I agree. And sometimes it does just take one season of some unfortunate games for you to learn some lessons and understand, you know, what you can do differently the next time you come out against teams like that. And so, you know, hopefully they take a lot away from the season, because they really should. They still played really well, and it was just unfortunate that results weren't going their way. So hopefully that, you know, they go away, you learn a lot over the summer, and when combinations are put back out in September and for the new season, you know, hopefully they'll come out with some shock victories and be right up there near the top of the division for next year.
And the ongoing battle between Marbury Misfits B and Castletown Pink will continue, because they both finished on 26 points apiece.
Wow.
I love watching those matches. I think Castletown Pink beat Marbury Misfits B more, though, in their matchups this season.
I think they did as well. Yeah. You know, Castletown Pink have some new players this season. So they've got Alicia Dunn. She moved from Simcox to Castletown. She's been like a pinnacle
player for
Castletown Pink this season. So, you know, although they are two solid teams that go up against each other this time, Castletown Pink did have the luxury of providing some different combinations this season, probably throwing a number of teams off when they first started, and it, you know, it worked for them.
Marbury Misfits B, I really enjoyed watching, and it was my whole spiel about Marbury Misfits B was the same all season pretty much. They have some incredibly talented players, and when it's right and they just find that sweet spot and like click into place, they're just like bam 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 all the way down the court defensively and in attack. But it was always in the dying minutes of the game that Misfits would lose it by just one. So I think that is, like you say, the teams where the results aren't going their way, this is the prime season to take those losses and learn from them and make sure it doesn't happen again next year. So I think Marbury Misfits just need to really focus on working hard when they're tired in those dying minutes of the game and making sure that they keep the ball safe.
Yeah, no, I agree. And they are such a strong team. So the fact that they were losing games in the dying minutes is never nice. You know, losing's not nice at all. But yeah, you know, hopefully next season you'll see them further up the top. And that the team as a whole, I think their shooters, when they're on, they are absolutely on fire, and they could be the most consistent shooters across the Division One. Like, they're shooting long bombs left, right and centre. I'm not sure the name of the goal attack who they have out normally.
Anna Mitchesny, I think. Ball.
Yeah, Anna. She can be given the ball on the edge of the D and just, you know, pop it away.
I know.
Like, so easily. It doesn't even look safe when she's putting them up. And that's, you know, so nice that you've got a confident shooter in that circle.
She does kind of pop them up from anywhere and turn and, like, do the Maria Folau sort of strut, like, oh, it's nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you your player of the season from Division One.
Oh, gosh. has to be, for me, I think, from Gems, and that could be any one of the girls from that team, to be honest. But I'll give it to Holly Hennessy. She is a girl that is defensively super strong, so you'll see her a lot at that wing defence position. But, you know, she can also play centre, she can also play wing attack, and she's just somebody that keeps going. Like, physically, she's very fit. And you see that on court, you know, she's like a terrier. She's constantly after that ball. She's chasing these balls. She's tight on her player. And she created a lot of turnovers for that team, which meant they were able to convert balls and get to goals and win games. And you need that. You need people that are strong defensively to help you win games as well. And she's been so key in that team this year. And it's been so nice to see how she's developed as well from the start of the season towards the end.
Good choice. Excellent choice. And like you say, you could pick anyone from Rubies, really. They're such a strong team. I am going to go with, now, close second, Anna Mitchesny, just because I think she commands the circle fantastically. But I'm going to give it to Mika Chen, just because I've seen how much she's improved this season, and her defence has gone from kind of looking at her player and being like a man on marker to watching the play and going for intercepts and getting those intercepts. And she's improved so quickly. And again, another team player, you know, she she doesn't pull her face if she doesn't get played. You know, she's just in it for the other, her teammates, basically, which I think is vital. So,
yeah.
Well done to
Mika
Chen.
Mika's a really versatile player. You know, she's not just a mid-court player. You can throw her in that circle defence as well, and she'll give it 150%. So she's a good asset to have on your team as Mika.
Absolutely. Okie dokie. So moving now on to Division 2. Top of the table is PwC again. This time, Manx Gem Sapphires. They came top with 30 points. But actually, Spaniards also have 30 points. They've had a fantastic tussle this season. And then Simcox Green Eagles are right on their tails with 29 points in third place. Castletown Navy in fourth with 24. PwC Manx Gems Emeralds in fifth with 20 points. Absolute Scaffolding Black with 12 points. And WDS Limited Young Farmers B with 3 points. Another very close table, especially in the top half.
Yeah, and I think a lot of those games were close on paper as well, as in the people sat on the top, the games against each other were so close.
Any shock results? I thought Castletown Navy would have come above Simcox Green Eagles, if I'm honest, no offence.
None taken. but no, Castletown Navy did have a really strong season this year, and by going off the games that I'd seen of them, I'd have expected them to be slightly higher. Maybe second place.
The Spaniards have smashed it, though, this year. They've been really, really consistent.
Yeah, they started off with a few wobbly games, I think. And I remember, I think I was speaking to you, saying, you know, it shocked me. Yeah, a team that's been relegated from the first division, you'd expect to come out and absolutely smash it, so it's straight back up for them. So the fact that they didn't start so strong, you know, shocked me. But, you know, they seemed to turn it around, I think, after game 3 or 4. And it was just like, bam, 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 bam. Like, win, 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 win. And if you saw them on court as well, like, they were super strong. They're a team, because they've played together as a team for so long, they know exactly how to play with each other and play with each other well. It's not, they're not looking for the space to pass the ball. They're passing the ball because they know this person's going to run that way, and I know that because it's what she always does. You know, they're a team that works well with each other, and they can play off their instincts as well, which really, really helps. And a lot of that is, you know, hard to mark from a defender, because it's, you're not reacting off a move all the time. It's that they're just doing it. It's natural instinct. So,
Unfortunate results. Young Farmers B at the bottom of the table with 3 points, whilst in their A team in Division 1 came second in the league table. And I really enjoy Young Farmers A. I think they've got a fantastic team, but that's quite a substantial gap between their A and B squad. So what do you think they need to work on for next season?
I think, you know, and I don't know how they train, I've not seen them train before, but it's making sure that you're identifying those gaps in that second team, and because you want your teams to be as consistent as possible. Yet there's going to be a divide and a difference between the two, but they should be consistent, so that if you ever need people to play up, they can just slot in there, and it's not like you've got any gaping holes from where these players have come on. So it's making sure that you're consistent, identifying where the weaker areas of the team are, and having people, you know, in your club and in your team that can turn around and help you to become better when you're playing against each other is always, you know, really good to do. So like at Simcox training, when we play like the Blues against the Silvers, we switch it over, so it's Blues attack versus Blue defence, Silvers attack versus Silvers defence, so that helps to keep the game you know, nice, and the stronger players are against the stronger players, but you're also playing with people on your team that you can help develop at the same time. So it's pulling somebody to the side after they've just lost the ball and say, hey, listen, next time, why don't you try and do this? Or, you know, what I would do is I'd do that. And then if you can do that and you can kind of find the good connection between, you know, two teams like that, then it helps to make that transition between the two a bit easier. I just really rambled then, but
no, it, you know, makes complete sense. And Simcox is very good at doing that, you know, sort of merging all your teams together as you move up, you know, so when people do leave, you're not left with, as you say, you're not left lost.
It's hard to get two teams to the same level, you know, it can never happen. Look at Blues and Reds in the same division, have been for gosh knows how many years, And there's still a big gap between the two of them. So I'm not trying to say that you can ever get them to the same level as each other, but there's definitely things that you can do to make that gap smaller.
Absolutely. Player of the season for Division 2, please.
Oh, goodness. Do you know what? I'm going to give it to Leanne from Castletown Navies. I just think, similarly to Holly in Division 1, but she is just an absolute terrier. And when I've come down and watched the Navies games, she has just been like fighting for every single ball. She's got a loud voice on that court as well to spur her team on. She's a solid wing attack for that team as well. You know, she's right on that circle edge. She's got great vision into the circle, but she's also good at sticking with her player as well. She's somebody that comes off the court and you know that they've given 100% effort in that game, because she looks knackered, not in a bad way, but you know she's gone away and she's put everything into that game, which is what you want from a teammate. So yeah, I give it to Leanne.
Good choice and good reasoning. I'm going to give mine to Hannah Halsall from Manx Gems Emeralds, because again, defensively, I've seen her come on massively this season, and it's just really nice seeing people's confidence grow as they start to make the position their own, I guess, really. And I know she did fantastically well with the Ireland squad during Netball Europe. So yes, Hansi Hannah Halsall gets my vote.
Nice one.
Thanks.
Yeah, she's very good.
And finally, Newfield Senior League Division 3. So at the top, Simcox Silver with 36 points, followed by SNP Balasala D with 28 points, Route 1 Bolts with 28 points in third, Simcox White in fourth with 24 points, Absolute Red Scaffolding in fifth with 21, Thompson Travel 4 in sixth with 3, and PWC Manx Gems Tanzanite at the bottom of the table also with 3 points. Any mishaps there, or is that kind of how you would have predicted the results to fall?
No, I think that's how I'd have predicted it at the start of the season. The top three were a lot closer than I have expected, I think. But yeah, the league kind of played out as expected.
The top three there, I mean, obviously Balasala and Route 1 all both have 28 apiece. That's kind of like how old school league table would look, really, with Simcox, Bala and Route 1 all at the top.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that I thoroughly enjoyed watching a lot of these teams this year. I thought it's just good seeing people gel and seeing how slick the play, like the level of play is, not that it was ever not good, but it's really sort of been cranked up, I think, and I don't know if that's from the Commonwealth Games or like netball getting more exposure on the telly, but yeah, the rate of play has been really, really fab to watch.
Yeah, it's really good, and I think what's so nice about this division is it is a lot of new teams. You know, when you enter a new team into the league, they have to start in the bottom division, so you do see a lot of new faces, new combinations, new teams come in there, and you see people really start to come into their own game, you know, after the first few games, and that's what's so nice about this division. It is a bit unexpected. You never really know how it's going to end up because you've not got the history about people, and you've not got the history of the teams, because most of the time, the people that were in that division last year probably feeded their way up into different teams if there's a big club set up. So, yeah, I think that's what I like so much about this division. It's a bit unknown, and it does take the whole season for it to really unfold and you see the full potential of everybody in that league.
Player of the season for Division 3?
Oh, gosh. I think I'd have to give it to Joe Hicks.
Yeah, I was going to give it to Joe Hicks as well. Okay.
Oh no.
We'll both go for Joe Hicks, because she has had an absolute stormer.
She really has. Yeah, and I think like she's just so consistent. And to be honest, this is the first time that I've been able to see Joe play. I've not seen her play, you know, any of the other times that she's ever played netball. And it's been really nice to see like a really selfless player. Like, she's such a solid shooter, but she doesn't hog the ball. Mm-hmm. That's really nice. She's so key in that attacking end for Bala as well. You know, she give and go all the time.
Yeah, she creates a lot of
finding.
Play.
Yeah, and she plays so well with all the people in the team as well. You know, she has a great combination between her and Rebecca Hattons, but not just them as well. You know, I don't know who the wing attack's name was, so my apologies. But between the three of them, the setup worked really well, and it didn't matter if one of them wasn't on the court, because Jo seemed to make, you know, those transitions smooth and easy. So yeah, she's just played really well this season.
I totally agree. Fabulous. So those are the results as they stand at the moment. Hopefully there will be a big celebration of netball when the apocalypse blows over. but in the meantime, let's talk through, maybe if you have an exercise that you have in mind, maybe we could each give people an exercise to try at home.
Yeah.
Yeah? Cool. Okay. Something to try at home to keep you from going kind of crazy, not being able to get out and about or on a netball court. So I've been in the back garden and I've basically stolen the bin and some old garden furniture, so just like a chair, but you can put anything, you can use anything, so you can use like a backpack or a jumper or something. And basically I put the two objects far enough apart that I'm not having to like squeeze through the middle of them, and basically I imagine both those are players on a court, and then I sort of stand back and I'm on my toes, fast feet ready, and then get usually mum to pass the ball to either the bin or the chair, and I have to cut in front to get the intercept. But it also works as an attacking drill, because a good attacker has to like cut in front of her defender to receive the ball. So it works both in attack and in defence. And so yeah, I would just do sort of 10 of those, have a break and do 3 sets of 10. And then if I want to sort of mix it up and make it a little bit difficult, mum would start throwing in some look away passes. So I really have to watch her eyes and her face to see where she's going to throw the ball to, and if I have to change direction at the last minute to get a touch to the ball. So that would be mine.
That's a very good one.
Thank you.
So mine, and I'm quite fortunate that I've got such like a long drive, but I've got the car parked at the back. Mm-hmm. So imagine this, the car's parked at the very back of the drive. And I mean, the aim of the game is to just protect the car. so we've got like somebody with a ball. I mean, it's usually, well, it is Stephen for me, because it's just the two of us and we're in lockdown. So that's great fun. But he's down at the front of the drive with the ball, and you've got to drive forward and touch the ball in the hand of feeders, and he then does a high ball over the top of me, and I've got to make sure that I'm driving back and try and make a clean intercept of that ball before it hits the car.
Nice, that's good. I love those backing ups.
Oh, they're great. And you know, you've got to have a quick change of direction, and you've got to be able to, you know, drive and have quick feet to get back there as well, but also making sure that your timing is on, because obviously if you go too soon, you've jumped too soon and the ball goes over your head, and if you time it not right, well then, you know, you've smashed the car up, or it goes straight into the hand of the player if we were talking about a real game. And so it's all about getting everything in sync. And then also, to build on from that, I've come forward, I've touched the ball, I've driven off to the left hand side, he's made a clear chest pass to the car, I have to cut across and make that intercept as well. So some key points for that: you want to be receiving that ball kind of on the diagonal instead of on the horizontal, so that you're getting your feet to the ball, you're getting as close to that player or the car as you can be, so that you've driven forward. You know, we never want to be attacking the ball on the horizontal. We should always be going, you know, on that diagonal, driving forwards where we can. So those are some of the ones that I've been doing. You know, again, you can set yourself up with a bin on the floor, or, you know, if you've got siblings, fantastic. You can use one of them as well.
Yeah, so those are two decent defensive drills for you to try at home. And like Ailish said, added incentive if you use a car, or I used my nan to stand to receive the ball, and it's added incentive to get the intercept. Otherwise, it's going to smash a window or your grandparents' face. So you really have to get those feet moving quickly. Fast feet is good. But yeah.
And some ball drills. So I think everybody forgets about keeping up those basic netball skills. And without them, we couldn't play a proper game of netball. So, you know, I went out before. After I'd done a bit of a workout, a sprint workout, we went into the back garden, picked up the ball, and we just did a load of pyramid chest passes. So you start off and you do 10 between the two of you. You rest for 5 seconds, then you go 20, rest for 5 seconds, 30, rest. So you go up to 50, then you do 50 again, you go all the way back down. So we did that twice over, absolutely knackering. And then the second time over, to make it a bit harder, instead of just resting for 5 seconds, and Steve threw up 5 high balls for me. So you have to go up and receive the ball at the highest point as well. So it's just keeping, you know, that finger dexterity alive, you know, making that ball connection skill good, and just making sure, like, chest passing was still absolutely solid, so that there's just no excuse come September.
Yeah, totally agree. All those basic skills, they're a necessity to keep dusted off. And of course, if you don't have someone to practice with, you can just do a lot of those things against the wall, which is absolutely fine. If you don't have a netball, you could use a tennis ball. I mean, you could even use a rugby ball, because then you're having to react to how the ball bounces off the wall. So, you know, basically just get creative, and there's always stuff you can be doing to sort of stay sharp. So we'll wrap it up there, but I think me and Ailish will be back. We can give you a weekly exercise to try while we're in lockdown, if you're happy to do that.
Happy to do that, of course.
Excellent.
It gives me the incentive to be doing new stuff as well. So
yeah, same. I totally agree. We will be back with you next week with new challenges and exercises then. So in the meantime, stay safe, stay isolated, and
wash your hands
and wash your balls.
The Netball Show Newfield Netball League update with Rhiann Evans.